Well, it's a big day for ACT leader David Seymour today as his end-of-life choice bill faces judgment from his fellow MPs. The bill that would give the terminally ill the right to choose to die faces a make-or-break vote in Parliament. It will either edge closer to becoming law or be thrown out. MPs will vote according to their own conscience rather than along party lines. Mr. Seymour is with us now in the Wellington studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is your latest gut on this one? Do you think you've got the numbers to clear this hurdle?
Well, I'm really reluctant to second-guess my fellow MPs. I think based on what people are saying, MPs are likely to line up with public opinion, which is overwhelmingly in favour of choice. But until people walk through the doors of either aye or no in Parliament, hopefully tonight, depending on timing, we won't be sure.
You must have done some informal counts, though. Have you got a buffer? Where's your optimism levels?
Oh, look, I think that the bill can pass by a comfortable margin. But like I say, until people actually walk through that door and cast their vote, you'd want to be campaigning and double-checking right up to the last minute.
What would be your last-minute plea to those MPs today, if they're listening right now? What would you say to them, those that are wavering, those that are voting against? What's the one thing you could say to them to get them across the line?
Well, look, a lot of people say the way to judge a society is how it treats its most vulnerable members. This is a question of what do we do for 1% or 2% of New Zealanders, which we know from overseas, are going to be in the position where the best palliative care in the world can't help them. They're at the end of their life. They're suffering. They're clear in their mind. They want a choice. Do we say, as the status quo requires, sorry, bad luck, you must suffer under the laws that we've put in place? Or do we say we're going to emulate a growing number of jurisdictions around the world, most recently our cousins across the ditch in the Australian state of Victoria, and say to them, we can design a law that gives you choice, that allows you to go on your terms in your timing because it's your life and it should be your choice.
But people are worried about safeguards and doctors. In particular, you've got 1,000 doctors signing a petition. Now, that takes quite a bit for them to actually bother signing, putting their name to it, saying they don't like this. That is significant, isn't it?
Well, certainly we've been keen to listen to the medical profession, but I think we do have to put this in a bit of context. There's 17,000 doctors in New Zealand. I'm not saying all the ones that haven't signed are in favour, but it is true that a large portion of doctors, around about a third, have said that they're in favour. Now, bear in mind, this is something that is currently illegal, so for doctors in large numbers to say they're in favour, I think is also significant. And for those doctors who are opposed, they can conscientiously object. You know, this is the end-of-life choice bill, and that's not only for patients, it's also for doctors. If they want to object, they can do that under this legislation.
But you've got to find... So your bill has... You need two doctors, right? So
that's right.
Yep. So is there a danger that you might, in some areas, some places, people would struggle to find two doctors, given that there are plenty that don't support this and would be able to object, conscientiously object?
So there's only been one poll of doctors' attitudes towards not whether they support the bill in principle, but whether they would professionally be involved. Around about 1 in 6 have said that they would. So if you take that poll, you've got about 3,000 doctors up and down the country who have said, yes, I could potentially be involved in administering assisted dying if it became legal. I think potentially in some very remote areas, people would struggle with access. But I think it's important that we don't drop the standards. The safeguards are very rigorous. They're modelled on what has been done in jurisdictions such as Canada, such as Victoria, and many states of the United States. The two-doctor model is a critical safeguard so that we know that these are people who genuinely are ill and at the end of their lives, and people who are mentally competent and making their own decision.
All right, let's deal with some of the main criticisms here. One of the big ones from Maggie Barry and others is it's a slippery slope. And that you pass this with these restrictions and you have to be diagnosed as being terminal within 6 months and these sort of things, that you're putting in these safeguards. But over the years, it gets chipped away at, and then you end up with a situation, say, as the Netherlands, where, you know, it is a far more liberal regime and it has evolved to that point. So this is a start of a slippery slope.
Well, first of all, I mean, the slippery slope argument is one of the easiest arguments in the world to make, and impossible to disprove, because it's effectively saying, I don't want to argue against the bill in front of us. I'd like to argue against some other hypothetical scenario more favourable to my case. So it's a weak way of arguing. But second of all, I reject the premise about the Netherlands. I think we should be clear that the Netherlands, back in 2001, legislated that somebody who is in a hopeless medical condition should be able to access assisted dying. You didn't have to be terminal, you didn't have to have a reasonably foreseeable death. And so their law has worked more or less as you would expect, but it also has not changed. People like to say that things in the Netherlands have changed. People have sensationalized cases such as that of Noor Pothoven a couple of weeks ago, completely misreported the facts of that case. Nevertheless, the slippery slope hasn't actually occurred the way opponents
like to say. Well, David, we have to leave it there. We've run short of time. We look forward to seeing how that bill goes tonight. A lot of interest. We'll hear from some opponents to the euthanasia bill later on in the program.